Indeed, indeed. And welcome back. Up next, hypnotherapy and UFO abduction cases with Yvonne Smith. Get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, special program for you because this hour we've got Yvonne Smith, hypnotherapist, and then later on for 2 hours, next hour starting, Robert Salas joins us with his story called Faded Giant. He had been with the Air Force for a number of years, and he's got an incredible case that he wants to talk about. Yvonne Smith began researching the UFO phenomenon in the late 1980s, and she received her hypnotherapy certification in 1990. She specializes in cases of post-traumatic stress disorder, observing that many of her subjects were describing a pattern of alien abduction and other close encounter experiences. She founded Close Encounters Resource Organization. Here she is on Coast to Coast. Yvonne, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you so much, George. I'm wonderful. I appreciate you having me back on the show.
God, you remind me of the movie The Fourth Kind.
Oh, no.
A little bit. I mean, that was a movie based on abductions and hypnotherapy.
It was.
But frightening. But are some of these cases, and we're going to get into some of these with you, are they that scary?
You know, it's unfortunate, George. I have so many people emailing me, asking me the same thing about Fourth Kind. I went to see it with some of my CIRO members. Of course, I was very curious about it because it has to do with my work. And I researched this supposed case of mass abduction in Nome, Alaska, and researched the doctor, the psychologist. I don't have my note in front of me.
Abigail something.
Abigail, right? Yeah. Right, exactly. And, you know, for those of us who've been in the field, I'm in this field now 20 years, we would have heard about this case. We would have known about this case. I researched it in depth and could not find anything in relation to a case in Nome, Alaska or this particular doctor. And in watching the movie, I cringed at the portrayal of the hypnosis sessions because, really, George, it reminded me more of a demonic possession as opposed to a UFO abduction.
And it was Hollywood.
And it was, and of course, yeah, they do have to sell their tickets. And I really had to assure people that were writing me and calling me that were thinking about doing regression and asking me, does this happen? You know, is this dangerous? I mean, in the 20 years, I've never had anyone commit suicide. I've never had anyone commit a murder suicide. I was horrified, to tell you the truth. And it's, you know, it's really unfortunate that the producers of this movie try to portray this as a documentary.
Yeah, they took a little Blair Witch and tried to squeeze some thing. And they even had phony websites made up to make people think it was a real story.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it for those of us who are really trying to do some serious research, it really takes us a few steps back because then we have to try to justify why is it portrayed like this. And, you know, I've never had... In the 20 years I've been doing this, I've never had anyone come to me and say they regretted doing hypnosis.
Well, you know, it was, Yvonne, it was brilliant viral marketing. But for people like you who are very serious researchers, it's got to make your job difficult because it scares the living daylights out of people. Now, there is one guy out there of a few, David Jacobs, who might think that movie's pretty accurate. What do you think?
I don't know. George, I know that there's been some controversy surrounding David, and it's unfortunate. He's a close colleague of mine. I don't know the particulars of the case. I know there's some legal complications involved with this, so I really cannot comment.
Well, but he does believe that these cases, in general, are being done not for good purposes, that there's something very evil about it.
You know, there are some people I know that feel that the encounters with these entities are evil. I get the question all the time, you know, are they good? Are they bad? You know, we want to put everything in a nice little neat box. And really, I do not think they're either. They're not malevolent or benevolent.
Do you think they're happening?
Absolutely. I have so much documented now. I'm working on my second and third book as we speak, writing my second and third book.
First one's called Chosen, right?
First one's called Chosen, which is out now, doing very well. I thank everybody out there. And the second one that I'm writing is, believe it or not, it's a mass abduction. It's a very interesting case in the on Coronado Island in San Diego several years ago. 11 people were abducted all on the same weekend when I was emceeing a conference. At the same time, this was at the Del Coronado, that President Clinton was on the island as well.
Huh.
And in the same hotel. So, putting everything together, lots of notes, lots of regression and transcripts. So I'm hoping to have that out June of 2011. But, you know, people know me, George, by my abduction work and, of course, my book Chosen. But they forget that my specialty is PTSD. And PTSD can happen to, of course, our military returning now from Iraq, people who suffered as children, you know, some kind of abuse.
Oh, absolutely. It's got to be huge. Huh?
People that cleaned up after these terrorist attacks, for instance, at 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here tonight, and I really want to thank you again for giving me this opportunity to talk about cases, not only the abduction cases that I've dealt with for the last 20 years, but also I've dealt with people in the military who have had encounters, and not just abduction encounters, but close encounters.
Well, when I was 21 years old, I had the opportunity to interview via phone Dr. Benjamin Simon when he was in Boston, mm-hmm. who was the hypnotherapist psychiatrist for Barney and Betty Hill.
Exactly.
And he told me, and I will distinctly remember this, when I asked him, I said, do you believe that this couple was abducted? And he said, I believe that they believe it,
mm-hmm.
that they are not lying, that whatever happened to them was real in their minds, and that it's very possible. And that's what he said. And, he could not say to me, yes, it surely happened, but he also couldn't say, no, it did not. But he was convinced that they believed it happened. So that's pretty dramatic all by itself.
It is, and especially back in the day, you know, when Betty and Barney Hill had that experience. Of course, back then, nobody knew about missing time and abduction. And but here we have come a long way. And, you know, I had the opportunity to study with my colleague, Bud Hopkins,
mm-hmm.
For when I first started my practice, and learned so much. And in the 20 years now, I can say, George, that, and I know many therapists do not want to put their necks out on the chopping block, but I can say that people out there, and there are thousands, millions of people, I'm talking worldwide, are having true physical contact or abduction experience.
Now, can we say from what or whom?
At this point, we cannot. I mean, they describe, of course, as you know, the typical 3 to 4 foot gray beings with the large eyes. Those seem to be the ones that are doing the abduction.
Right. In the movie, they called it the owl, right?
Yes.
It was
yes.
a tight yes. shot. It looked like an owl when they were out of focus. And then when you mm-hmm. focused it, you clearly could see it. A very daunting-looking alien. Gray.
Absolutely. This is what we call a screen memory. It comes in the form of an owl or deer eyes. It's something about the eyes that people have a problem with.
And you get a lot of that in your hypnotherapy sessions?
Absolutely. There's a lot of screen memory. It's very, very interesting where people will have an episode of missing time. Of course, they don't realize it sometimes many years later. And they'll say, you know, I was driving with my family and we came across blinking lights, and it was ambulance, and they were just blinking, and then they don't remember anything after that. And something about the situation started haunting them, but later, many years later, and this is a strange component to what we call the missing time experiences, but it's very, very common. I'm at the point now where you become sort of like a police detective. So when someone contacts you and they begin to tell you about their experiences, and of course now we're at the age of email and text messages. Now I'm getting emails from all over the world, and people describe almost the same type of experience.
How do you find these people, Yvonne, or how do they find you?
They find me, George, probably, well, thanks to your show, my website. I do not advertise. I think, when you're in a business for a certain amount of time and you gain a reputation, people then come to you. And I wish I could help everyone around the world. I mean, I received just an email the other morning from someone in Spain, another one, from Australia. I mean, they're from all over the world. In fact, I'm doing another radio show out of Australia.
What have you concluded personally about this phenomenon?
Right now, number one, as I mentioned before, I know that these experiences are real. These people are not imagining these experiences.
But would you have to say, though, that they're real, like Benjamin Simon told me they're real? Like, something's happening to these people, and they believe it. We just don't know what it is.
That's exactly.
Okay.
We're getting a little bit closer. I mean, I feel very, very strongly that whatever these, whoever they are, extraterrestrials, will say, whatever they're doing, I feel that their agenda revolves around the hybrid program. I try to not talk about this too much when I'm doing an interview because I'm trying to reach out to the mainstream general public. So when you start talking about hybridization, alien and human offspring, because during the experiences they take ova and sperm, people are shown babies. I mean, we're really getting into the very depth of the abduction experience. I feel that that's a huge part of it.
See, what I think is happening, I think, one would think if they were benevolent, that what they're doing is creating these hybrids, and they want them to adjust for a future planet here, that something will happen. They know about it. Some Earth change. And they're making, between human and them, they're making this hybrid that could adapt to that. The good part says that's what they're doing. The bad part says they're going to come back and invade us with these things.
Well, that's the whole thing, George, is right now we don't know what ultimately is going to happen with these hybrids. Now, I think we're in that next phase. I think we've been in the phase for a while, but really did want to face it that these hybrids are already down here among us. I've had people tell me they feel like they've met a hybrid. And I know my colleague, Bud Hopkins, and David Jacobs both have said that many of their clients have said they have encountered them.
Are they kids? Are they grown-ups? What are they?
Mainly when they're down here, they're mainly grown-ups trying to adapt to our everyday life. But it's, you know, this is so complex, and there's so much involved in this. But that's why I wanted to, you know, come on tonight and focus on the military cases that I've come across. My co-host later, Bob Salas, my friend and colleague, is going to talk about his experience when he was in the Air Force, as you had mentioned to the audience. Mm-hmm. Well, during the course of my practice, I've had people who have been in the military who've also had encounters. And when I was discussing, you know, Bob's experience, and I, you know, thought back, oh my gosh, you know, people that I've worked with over the years, I've worked with, oh my gosh, it has to be well over 500 cases. Maybe I'm being, you know, maybe it's close to 700 cases by now. But I had somebody, for instance, come to me, George. He was in the Army. He came to me about 20 years later. He told me, he shared with me that his entire platoon, when they were out on maneuvers, encountered a very strange craft. They had no idea what it was, and they couldn't remember anything after that. But when they returned to the barracks, they had found that many of the men in the platoon had urinated on themselves, had defecated on themselves, they were crying, they were hysterical. And when this individual came to me in my office and was describing this to me, this had happened 20 years prior, he was hysterical and crying. He is still suffering from PTSD.
Now, do you hypnotically regress these people?
If they're ready, and if I feel that they're at the point in their lives that they're ready to accept what may come forward. Also, what I try to do in these multiple witness cases is get in touch with these other people to find out, you know, what they remember, and possibly if they're ready to regress, to be regressed, and see what happened. This I found so disturbing because of how upset he was. We did one regression. We've been in the process of locating these other men in his unit, but it goes to show that no matter where you are or who you are, you know, this could happen. I had another general from a foreign country. He encountered with his squadron, as he was flying, a very strange, erratically moving object in the sky. They couldn't catch up to it. And he felt that there was something more to what happened that day. He flew here to the U.S. and asked for me to work with him. And I'll tell you, as I mentioned before, this is a worldwide phenomenon.
It sure is. There's no doubt about that. And I want to talk about more of these cases with you, Yvonne, when we come back. Would you please give us your website?
I am at www.wysmith.com. Wysmith, that's my first initial, last name.com.
Okay, stay with us. Yvonne Smith, our special guest. We're going to continue talking about these incredible cases. We'll also get into hypnotherapy. I want her to explain how she puts these folks under, the types of questions she asks them, and what kind of response that she gets. It's fascinating. And again, she heads up what is called the Close Encounter Resource Organization. And we'll be back with Yvonne in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, with our guest Yvonne Smith next hour. Robert Salas joins us. We'll talk about his incredible case while stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. But we'll come right back with more with Yvonne on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Yvonne Smith as we talk about her work as a hypnotherapist. Tell us your procedure of hypnotherapy. How does this work?
Well, George, when someone comes to me, after I do the initial sending out my packet of information and doing an initial consultation with them. And if I feel they're ready, and many of them are referred to me by their doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, then I begin set aside about 2 hours for them, and then begin the process of the relaxation. It's just using my voice, and it's just a matter of gaining rapport with each other and trust. And it's, you know, hypnotherapy, even though we discussed that movie for a time, hypnotherapy is very, very safe, and it's extremely effective in retrieving hidden memories, in relieving PTSD symptoms. So once we go through that process, I bring them down into a deep level of hypnosis. Then we begin to go into the regression, just taking them back to a particular time in their life. Many times it's back to childhood, because as we know, this phenomenon begins in childhood and follows the person throughout their life.
Yeah, they're targeted, aren't they?
Yes, for whatever reason, once they're targeted or their family is targeted, and because it is intergenerational, it's a family affair, it follows them throughout their life. I wish I could take it away. I wish I could stop their experiences. You know, people ask me, can you stop this? No, I don't have that kind of power, but I'm certainly instrumental in relieving their symptoms and bringing the buried memories to the forefront so that they're able to deal with them. Once they know intellectually what they experienced, then it's not so frightening. Then it does not have such a power hold on them. And this is why I created CERO, Close Encounter Resource Organization, to give people a chance to get together once a month. It's a support group. Everybody gets together. They talk about what happened to them. They talk about their theories. They talk about, you know, what may have happened to their family without feeling that they're going to be ridiculed.
Do they feel violated?
Some do. Many times in the beginning of an experience, because, you know, we did not grow up with, you know, learning and knowing that there were ETs, that there were abduction encounters. I mean, we certainly, you know, back in what we're talking about, maybe during the time of the Roswell crash, I mean, we, in the 50s, there were lots of, you know, sightings of flying saucers and so forth. But as far as something coming down here and taking us out of our environment, you know, we didn't grow up with that. So people, when they realize they were having this experience or a strange experience, not knowing, they had no way to, to identify what this was. Many people say, "Oh, I thought it was a ghost. I thought it was," you know, they had no idea. So of course, once they realize, you know, I didn't give permission to have this done to me. I didn't give permission for them to take skin samples and blood samples and, you know, my DNA. They do feel violated in the beginning. Then, you know, later on, and I've worked with people for many years because it is an ongoing experience, they begin to incorporate this into their lives. Once the memories are brought forward, there is relief, there is healing, and they begin to...
And you see that personality change in a positive way?
I do. Many times, yes. They feel that they become more spiritual. They feel that they become more sensitive. Many of them, the people that have undergone this experience, are very psychic. Now, we don't know whether, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, I think we're all psychic. I think we all have that ability. I think people that suffer some type of trauma. I've worked with people who suffered terrible car accidents. And they were near death and came back and felt, gee, you know, I have this ability that I didn't think I had before. So it opens up something within us. But it's wonderful to see that over the years, I'm doing this and people calling me that maybe I haven't seen for a while is saying, thanking me again for helping them through it. And they're able to get on with their lives. So that's my whole, this is number one, I'm a hypnotherapist. First and foremost. Number two, I'm a researcher. I never thought in a million years that I was going to write about this and author my first book, but obviously this is my path, and I'm going to continue because there really is a need out there. There's not really nearly enough of us doing this work.
Well, now, you researched UFO phenomenon in the 80s, and you became a hypnotherapist in 1990. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the abductions come first, and then you said, I'm going to be a therapist, or did you want to be a therapist and the abductions came, even though you were studying them before that?
Well, you know, I always wanted to be a therapist. I always wanted to be in the helping profession. But it was really funny. I really attribute this to my mother, who had asked me to attend a conference with her because she wanted to see Bud Hopkins. My mother's the one that showed me the Life magazine article of Betty and Barney Hill's case.
I think it was Look magazine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Look magazine.
Because my mother brought me Look magazine.
Okay, well, see, I came home and she said, look at these people. They had an encounter, and at the time I think they called them flying saucers. But she was instrumental, and my mother, you know, she's a very open-minded woman, as well as my late father. And we attended Bud's lecture, and I met him. I was impressed with his work and how he was explaining hypnosis. And
did you know John Mack?
At that time, no, I did not. But I had the honor and the pleasure of traveling with him. And it was a group of us, Bud and David Jacobs and John Carpenter. We all traveled and lectured together.
Oh, sure. John is just now starting to get back in this a little bit.
Oh, good. Oh, we miss him. We need him.
Good guy. I knew him in my Missouri days. And
I see. So
then he got out of it.
He did.
And we talked to him about a year ago. I think he's starting to dabble in it or think about doing it again because he's been away for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you, you try to step away from this for whatever reason. You know, life happens sometimes. But if you're meant to do this work, it will bring you right back in.
Give me some of your favorite cases. No names, but tell us what happened.
Well, I'll tell you, gosh, there's so many. Right now, I'm working on a very interesting case, a three-witness case with Dr. Roger Lear.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy. Jaime Masson. They brought these witnesses to me. I did hypnosis on two of them. We did a implant extraction on one of them, and we are getting in touch with the third witness to do some hypnosis on. And what was coming out of this is really interesting. And I was saying, we've come a long way over the years, but my friend and colleague Roger Lear, with his ANS research, has told me tonight that we have enough information from these implants, that I believe it's been maybe 15 extractions now, but enough information to identify the general origin of the ETs.
Hmm.
We're working with Robert Coombs, who's a PhD nuclear physicist.
Right, just had him on.
And
it's like a who's who of coast to coast.
And this is, we still have a lot of work to do on this case, but these witnesses, the two that I worked with, we did some filming with Jaime, and we're going to, it's eventually going to be a documentary, but these were children when this happened. They were about 9 years old, and here they are in their 30s and looking into this, and that's not unusual. I'm trying to think of, that's one of the very interesting cases that we're working on right now.
And you would hypnotize all three?
I have two of them.
Two of them.
And the third one is about ready to do the work. It's not unusual for someone to change their mind at the last minute. because now they're faced with, you know, do I really want to know? And that's not unusual, but I believe he's going to do it. And I think it's important for all three of them because they've had these memories since they were children. And what's very interesting about this is that they did not see each other after this camping trip until one of them started getting a hold of the others. And, you know, through our now Facebook and emails, they were able to get in touch with each other.
Oh, instantaneously.
And they flew out. And so we're going to do some more work on that. But, you know, stay tuned, George, because we have some interesting results from some of these implants.
Have you, okay, I'm going to do that. Have you ever come across anyone or anything that you think might have been a hybrid?
If I come across?
Yeah. I mean, they came to you and thought they were being abducted, but they were hybrids.
They were hybrids.
Because I wonder if hybrids know what they are or who they are.
I believe from talking to Bud about his experiences with these hybrids and David Jacobs, I believe they do know that they, you know, who they are.
And I wonder if they know what their purpose is.
You know, the abductees are always told, and you probably have heard this, that they're being trained and for a particular job. And when the time comes, they will know exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, with the hybrid...
They're pre-programmed, then.
Mm-hmm, yes. They don't consciously remember now, but I have from all my... I think I've heard this almost from every case that I've had. And I heard it from Jim Sparks when I saw him lecture in Laughlin. I've not worked with him personally, but when I heard him speak about it, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, when is this going to be? And what are they, what is their job? What are they supposed to be doing? People have had dreams of guiding large numbers of people, just guiding them somewhere. So, and I'm not talking about 2012. I honestly don't think the world's going to end then, but I think, you know, we're going through a shift somehow. And I feel now that there seems to be a lot of activity at this time. I'm from the people contacting me, and I've spoken to other people. More sightings, more encounters, more abduction.
What percent of the people that you... hypnotize that claim to have been abducted, or they think they were, what percent of them claim that, you know, something is being done to them medically?
They all do.
It's all of us, 100%. One would conclude then, just on the fact that it's 100%, that if abductions are occurring, it's got to be for a purpose of genetically manipulating, altering, or making these hybrids.
That's why this is why I mentioned this earlier. I couldn't have said that a few years ago. I didn't know. But now with the work that I've been doing with so many cases and people being presented, children, and also women that have been pregnant, feel that, you know, when they do have their babies, actually have their human babies, that they feel that their actual baby, human baby, was genetically altered.
Huh. And what does this tell you, Yvonne, about a species that would violate, you know, another entity, us, and do what they want to do and, you know, and do it at will? That doesn't sound very friendly to me.
Well, that's the problem. It is so secretive, and when the experiencers or abductees ask them, why are you doing this, you know, what is this for? They really don't give them an answer. It's basically, you'll be all right. You know, you'll be home soon. You know, they really are not given any type of answer. Now, I know a lot of people out there have had very positive experiences. And so they're not going to come to someone like me because the experiences are positive.
How could you have a positive experience? I mean, what would be positive?
Well, this is what...
Is this like the George Adamski cases where they took me up and I saw the solar system and everything looked
being,
good?
Yeah, that they're being, you know, they're sharing, you know...
But they don't tell them much about the future, do they? I don't think they do that.
Basically is that what we've heard many times in abduction cases is that we need to all take care of our planet. We have to spiritually evolve and grow and love each other.
I could tell people that.
No. Sure, of course. Now, I'm not.
I don't have to abduct people to tell them that.
I'm not taking away from the people who say they've had positive experiences, but from my research, people are not being told what is happening to them, and definitely the abductors have an agenda. They do have a plan. I'm just hoping that one day they don't pack up and leave, and that's it. We don't find out.
Look, if it was a great plan, let's look at the positive end of it for just a moment, and that is, they're genetically altering us, making hybrids to come back to a planet that they could sustain and they could live in, because the rest of us are going to get killed off by some calamity. You know, something will happen where maybe we can't breathe, a changing atmosphere or something like that, okay? But if that were the case, if they were doing something to benefit mankind, don't you think they would tell us? Instead of being so secretive?
Well, I feel that, yes, I feel that if they were here to help us, they would.
Well, I mean, what if they come by and say, look, 2030, an asteroid's going to hit your planet. All of you will be wiped out. All of you. And that's just the way it is. Now, we have made 2 million of you, you know, with us, and we're bringing them back when things clean up, and we're going to rebuild this planet. Well, my first thing to them was, if they're that sophisticated, why don't they blow this asteroid up before it got here?
That's right. You know? Yeah, they'd get rid of it.
So that's, you know, there's something else going on here.
Oh, yes. And well, people are also told that they're not allowed to interfere with us. They're observing what we're doing.
Well, they can probe us and do whatever they want, but they can't interfere in our...
As far as, you know, saving us from ourselves, in other words. And I think they're very interested in what we're doing on the planet, because that may affect the rest of the universe. And I think this is what, you know, we're segue into Bob's segment, where he's going to talk about, you know, what happened there on the missile site.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. And you're coming back the last hour with Robert to take phone calls, right?
I would love to.
All right, we'll do that. Next up, Robert Salas joins us with an incredible story, former military. Get ready for this one.